All right, so we'll get going. So welcome, everyone, to the Data Loss Prevention in SharePoint 2016. It'll be presented by MVP Vlad Catrinescu, president of VNext Solutions. My name is Scott Restivo. I'm CEO of Crow Canyon Systems. We're glad to present this information on this new feature that is in SharePoint 2016. But first, a little bit about Crow Canyon Systems. We are hosting this webinar. Crow Canyon Systems is founded in 1999. It's almost 20 years now. We're looking forward to the 20th anniversary pretty soon. We're headquartered in Northern California, a town called Benicia, which is up in the North Bay. We have thousands and thousands of installations. We do a lot of custom projects, and we're committed to delivering exceptional product, service, and support to our customers. We've been doing this for a long period of time and continue that. But our focus lately has been on SharePoint and Office 365 development. We're one of the leading application developers on the Microsoft platforms. Especially SharePoint and Office 365 has been our focus over the last 8 to 10 years. We do core business applications. These are in use around the world. Organizations of all types, all sizes, government, military, education, corporations, nonprofits, finance, healthcare, you name it, we're in it. And we also do a lot of custom development projects when people come to us with specific needs. So some of our applications are pretty much your standard core business applications of help desk, asset management, contracts, purchase, facilities, ones that businesses need to run their operations smoothly and effectively, and they have gone with the SharePoint platform, whether it's on-premises or SharePoint Online or Office 365, and are looking to implement these kind of solutions. We have those ready to go, easy to customize, no code utilities and customization configurations that can be done with them to adapt it. And these come in different versions. IT help desk could be simple or more complex. They can be integrated with asset management and purchase requests. Customer support could kind of connect with a equipment tracking. I mean, there's all kinds of ways these programs interact with each other, which is one of the great things about the SharePoint and Office 365 platforms, is that there is a lot of capability to interact and interconnect and interlink not only within SharePoint or Office 365, but also with outside applications or databases, whether outside a line of business such as ERP, CRMs, equipment database, membership database. We're always doing a lot of linking from our applications to pull data in and also link to, you know, existing databases, a SQL Server or whatever you might have on board. Ready to go. So it's not just isolated application, it's all integrated. We have done a number of custom projects. This is just a small sampling of the types. These have been quite interesting over the years to do these, and they present challenges, and we are able to surmount those and provide very, what we think are really good solutions, excellent solutions to our customers based on their needs, you know, security access or onboarding or compliance. We do a lot with the electrical industry with compliance these days. Membership services for nonprofits or large churches and things like that. Marcom, marketing materials, document management, all kinds of projects. As part of the development over the last 8 or 10 years, we have developed a large suite of web parts, apps, tools that we use as the basis for our development. And these are ones we develop. This is a very small sample. We have about 20 or 30 of these things, and we put it together for the specific purposes of those applications or that custom development project. So that's what Crow Canyon is up to. I don't want to take up too much of our time, but if on this webinar talking about it, I could go on and on about Crow Canyon. I run it. I think it's a wonderful company, and we do a lot of good work, but you can find out for yourself. You can go visit our website, contact sales. We have a blog. We're putting a lot of good articles on the blog and a lot of interesting information. You can stop by at our booth at any of these SharePoint events. We had a large number of them. I was in Vancouver last Saturday at the SharePoint Saturday, a week before in Denver SharePoint Fest, before that the Austin SharePoint TechCon, and then there's one in Chicago this Saturday. I mean, it goes on and on, Texas, and then Twin Cities, DC. So we've got quite an active schedule engaging and talking and meeting our customers. Of course, we're on the social networks also, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, etc. First, I want to point out before Vlad jumps into this new one that this webinar we're doing today, that we did a webinar back in January 21st. It was called What's New in SharePoint 2016 for IT Professionals. It covered a range of of the whole 2016 new features and new capabilities and things that you'd want to know about it in order to make decisions about migration, etc. And a recording of it is available here. It's also on Channel 9. If you go to this blog, this actually has the link to the Channel 9 recording. So if you can't, you know, don't have time to write that down right now, we'll send that out to you as part of the emails that come as when we, you know, the follow-up emails, et cetera, about this webinar. Okay, so now what I'd like to do is turn it over to Vlad Catronescu, MVP, and he can take it from there with the presentation on DLP. Let me transfer it over to him. Here you go, Vlad. Go ahead. It should be all yours.
Thank you. Can you tell me when you see my screen?
Yeah, it says SharePoint in big blue letters.
Okay. So do you see the slides too now?
Yes, data loss. There's okay. Like kind of a data center behind it, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, now we're all good. So let's start. Welcome everybody to this webinar on data loss prevention in SharePoint 2016. Let me introduce myself. My name is Vlad Catronescu. I'm an independent SharePoint consultant and SharePoint MVP from the beautiful Montreal, Canada. I'm also a Pluralsight author. For those of you who don't know about Pluralsight, it's an online training on-demand site. They have about 5,000 videos, and you can watch them on demand anytime. I'm also an international speaker. I get to meet Scott a lot because he does a lot of events. I do a lot of events. To give you an idea, I had 45,000 miles in 2015 only with the SharePoint conferences, without counting all the personal and travel purely for fun with no SharePoint. For those of you who have Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Vlad Catronescu. And also I blog a lot at absolute-sharepoint.com. I have a lot of stuff on SharePoint 2016 coming up, so make sure to check my blog. So let's start with what we'll look at today. We'll first do an introduction about what is DLP, what does data loss prevention mean, and what is it in SharePoint? How does it apply to us SharePoint professionals? Then we'll look at, first of all, how does SharePoint find this information? How can SharePoint know what is a credit card, what is a driver license, what is a bank account? So we'll look at the engine behind DLP. We'll then look at how do we set up DLP? What are the requirements? What do we need to set up for emails? What do we need to set up as site collections? And all that information. We'll then look at how to monitor. How do we find the information with bad content inside? And when I mean bad content, I mean content that shouldn't be there, such as credit cards or whatever documents you don't want into SharePoint. We'll look at DLP queries, DLP policies. And after we know how do we find this information, how do we make sure that it's automatically blocked? Because we want to minimize the damage, so we want to make sure that, hey, we know that there's bad data in our SharePoint. How do we block it so nobody has permission to access that document automatically once we think that somebody or a document has something wrong in it? We'll then look at what DLP provides in for end users, because it's always good to tell end users what they did wrong and give them a chance to fix it before we tell them, hey, you did this wrong, this is what you should have done. So we'll look at policy tip, we'll look at the email notifications, and lastly we'll look at some limitations, because DLP is new, it's a new feature in SharePoint. We didn't have that in SharePoint 2013, so there are some limitations for DLP in SharePoint 2016. So we'll make sure that you understand those limitations so you know what to expect when you deploy DLP in your environment. We'll then have a Q&A at the end of the webinar, and in case we don't have time to answer all your questions, I will write a blog post, and I promise to answer all the questions that you have. I'll write them up in a blog post. You guys will receive the links to all the questions. So we share all those questions and all those knowledge with everybody. So first of all, what is data loss prevention? And let's talk about data loss prevention in general, not only in SharePoint. DLP is a strategy for making sure that end users don't have access to sensitive or critical information. DLP, so DLP software, not only SharePoint, they use business rules to classify and find this sensitive information and make sure that once we find it, once we have a business rule that says, hey, we don't want anybody sending credit cards across the network. We don't want anybody sending credit cards to an external user, but they can send them to an internal user. So this is all business rules and business requirements in the background. And DLP is the technical way. How do we implement those business rules in our software? There are three ways. There are three ways to talk about DLP, three DLP ways. The first one is in use. Imagine having a form that you have a form, you have some free text, you type it, you write a credit card number, and the form is going to live tell you, hey, you just entered a credit card number. The second way is in motion, and that's what Microsoft uses for Exchange Online. So we attach the document with the credit card, no errors shown. However, when we press send on that email, that's where Exchange analyzes the document, that's where it finds the credit card, so and that's where it alerts the user. So that's in motion. And the last way of DLP is at rest. So we upload a document to SharePoint, the DLP system passes on the document at some point and gives an error. When we talk about SharePoint specific, we're going to talk about DLP at rest. Since once the DLP policy applies once the document is already in SharePoint and not when users upload a document or when users do something. The document must be in SharePoint for DLP to find the information. So what is data loss prevention in SharePoint 2016? DLP in SharePoint 2016 allows us to search for sensitive content using either the eDiscovery Center or the Compliance Policy Center. It can protect us for 51 total types of information, including credit card numbers, social security numbers, bank account numbers, passports, and so on. And it allows you to search across SharePoint 2016, OneDrive for Business, and SharePoint Online, kind of. And while the hybrid, there are some hybrid functionalities, it's really limited for now, and we're going to talk a bit more about the hybrid limitations at the end of the webinar, when we're going to talk about the limitations. So there are four main goals, four main chapters when we talk DLP in SharePoint 2016. First one is identify, find information, monitor, find, make sure that you can report on that information, protect it, so once you find it, you make sure that nobody can access it or temporarily block access to it, and lastly, end user education. So let's start with the first one, identify. How does SharePoint find this information? Before we get started, let's look a bit at how SharePoint works. How does SharePoint search work? And for those for you business users out there, you might not have seen those before, but we're going to go back to the search topology, to our five types of roles in a search of topology, so we understand where does the DLP policy run. So in SharePoint, we have content sources. Content sources are basically your targets. What do you want to crawl? They can be file shares, they can be web applications, they can be other SharePoint sites. And we have this SharePoint component, SharePoint search component called the crawler. The crawler is what is going to go in that web application, go in that file share, and get all that information. So capture all the documents in the Word file, capture all the documents in the PDF file, and then the crawler component is going to pass this information to the content processing component. This component is going to break up every word, analyze everything, make sure all your exclusion rules apply and all those rules, and then it will push information to the index. So that's on the back-end side of the search. If we look at the front-end, we have our user that does a search in SharePoint. So the user logs into a SharePoint site, does a search, it hits the query component. The query component is going to go talk to the index, which is going to return the required information back to the query component, which is going to give the results to the user. If we look at where does DLP come into this topology, DLP is actually going to look for information into the index. So what does this tell you right away is that you need to have the information in the index before you are able to find, before you're able to apply policies on it. So if you don't search a specific site collection, you're not going to be able to apply DLP policies on it. Also think at, hey, if I crawl my content every day, that means I can have up to 1 day delay between a user uploads a document to the credit card information in it and my policy, my alert actually pops up. Because if the document is not in the index, the DLP policy engine is not going to be able to identify it and analyze it. But how does it find this information? Let's take, for example, a credit card. Credit cards are international. Everybody has a credit card, so you should all be able to follow. You know, when we talk about SharePoint, metadata or document properties are a big topic in general, right? We upload a document, we have a content type, we have a bunch of properties for that document, and that is one of the cool features in SharePoint. Well, I want you to look at all the sensitive information types as a content type. So here we have a credit card. What kind of properties does a credit card have? We know that a credit card number is either 16 digits, which is either 4-4-4-4, or 16 one after the other without dashes. We also know that usually in a credit card we have an expiration date. We also have a CVN, CVV, CID, a card verification number. So we know that, hey, whenever somebody wants my credit card, they need at least two or three of those information before they could actually process it. We also have it either a Visa, a MasterCard, an American Express, so we have a name on the card, and we also have a card holder. So those are all properties of my credit card. So I know that when I look for a credit card, the more of this information that I can find, the more sure I can be that, hey, it's actually a credit card and it's not a document ID, it's not a patient ID. So if we look at how does SharePoint find this information, how does it actually know that it's a credit card? So I copied this text from TechNet and you'll have the URL at the bottom. So for a credit card, a DLP policy is 85% confident if it finds this information in a proximity of 300 characters. First, it needs to find the pattern. So it needs to find a 16-digit pattern, either 4-4-4-4 or 16 digits in a row. And it also needs to find one of the following information. So either a keyword from the keyword CC verification, a keyword from the keyword credit card name, or find an expiration date. And also, I'll go back to the screen so I can show you what those keywords actually are after. And also, if it's 65% sure that it found a credit card, if it only finds a pattern. And so for a credit card, since it's a really sensitive type of information, as long as you have the 16-digit pattern, you will still have an alert. But when we get the alert, SharePoint will tell you that, hey, it's only at 65% sure. So let me close this. Let me open Chrome. So let me open up this new tab. Let me copy the link. Perfect. So at the link at the bottom of the slides, you have the sensitive information types inventory in Exchange 2016, and it's the same thing in SharePoint 2016. So let me find credit card number, perfect. And actually, let me make this a bit bigger so you can all see. Okay, maybe a bit smaller. Okay, so like I said, we need to find the pattern, which is 4 digits-4 digits, or 16 of them. And then we need to find either a keyword from the CC verification, and we can see the keywords here. So either card verification number, PIN block, security code, security NO, issue number, Numéro de sécurité, so it also looks for information in other languages, not only in English. So it's normal that you're not going to understand some of those because it looks for information in all languages. The other type, we can look for a keyword from the credit card name, CC name list. So what do we have here? We have Amex, American Express with one word, MC, MasterCard, Diners Club, GCB, a CC number. So we have a bunch of credit card terms, credit card keywords that SharePoint is looking for to make sure that when you get an alert is actually a real alert and it's not some fake, hey, we just found 16 digits. But I know you'll tell me, but Vlad, in the case of a credit card, as soon as I have a pattern of 16 digits, I'm sure to have an alert. However, if we look at, let me show you the, and I don't know how many of you are here from Canada joining me today, but I'm Canadian, so I took an example that I know it affects me, which is the Canadian passport number. If we look at the pattern for a Canadian passport number, and I'm not going to give you mine, it's two uppercase letters followed by six digits. And what does it have to find? If we look at SharePoint, what's it looking for? Well, first of all, it's looking for both, it's looking for both the regular expression, so it needs to find the pattern of two uppercase letters followed by six digits, as well as a keyword. So if it only finds, let's say, A, B, uppercase, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's not going to give me an alert because it didn't find a keyword. If I have two lowercase letters and a keyword, it's not going to give me that alert because it doesn't match the pattern. And if I look back to the site, if I look here, Canada passport numbers, you see I need both of them to trigger that alert. And if we look at the keywords, we have them here, so Canadian citizenship, Canadian password, we have a bunch of keywords that it's looking for before it will say, hey, this is a passport or this is just a random piece of word, a random ID, and we're not going to trigger an alert for that information type. So what do we know until now? We know that we need to have that, and let me actually go back to the slides, talk about how to make it work. So what do we need to make it work? First of all, configure the search service application and crawl the location of the conflicting documents. We know that if the DLP depends on search, so if our search is not configured and our documents are not crawled, we're not going to get an alert. A third one that I found, especially if you're testing in a test environment and you just want to do a proof of concept, you need to configure outgoing email. And believe me, I spent a lot of time debugging my DLP setup when I first did it a few months ago, and I asked myself, hey, I followed all the steps, how come this isn't working? And the reason was that it was a test lab. I don't have any users in the lab, I don't even have an Exchange server, so I didn't configure outgoing email. So make sure that if you want to test it, configure that outgoing email. And also your users need to have an email address in the profile so it can actually send an alert to somebody. What else do we need to make the setup? First, we need an e-discovery center. And this is a type of site collection that allows you to do basically reactive. It allows you to create reports. It allows you to find stuff that's already in there. And the other site collection that we need is a compliance policy center. So this is where we'll create our compliance policies. This is where we'll create everything. So to show you how it works live, let me go here. Let me log in the demo. Let me go into central administration. Let's create a site collection. Let's call the first one eDiscovery. And let's give it the URL eDiscovery, make it easy. You can find those templates under the Enterprise tab in the central administration. Let me give SP admin as the admin and let me click OK. So that's the first type of site collection that we need. And let me go back to the slides. Well, this has been created. The eDiscovery Centers allows us to do monitoring. So it doesn't allow us to apply policies. It allows us to search stuff that's already in SharePoint and create reports. So this is what the Discovery Center looks like. We're going to look at it in the demo once the site collection is created. It allows you to create queries. So it allows you, hey, I want to know how many documents, how many credit cards are in there right now. So let me see who created them and what documents they are. And you know that as SharePoint admins or as SharePoint power users, we're not usually the ones that look at this document, look at those reports, and do access on it. Usually big companies have a compliance department. So we can output Excel reports that we can give to that compliance department. So we don't have to give them access into SharePoint if we don't want them to. We can create a report, email them, put that report in a SharePoint site, and then allow them to get to that report. So I think this was created. Let me go to the site collection. Should take a few seconds. I have everything running on my desktop, so DaxWake's not the fastest SharePoint you've seen. So once I'm in the eDiscovery Center, I will go into create a DLP query, and we're not going to look at cases in this webinar. We're only going to look at the DLP part. So let me create a new DLP query, create a new item, and let's look at what we have. First of all, we have a bunch of choices over here. And if you're a compliance person, those might talk a lot to you and you're going to be like, yeah, I know all of them. But if you're a SharePoint admin like me and you don't know all of those rules, you might be like, hey, what are those? So for example, let's look at the US personally identifiable information data, PII data. So we can select this one and we have a description of what this policy is and what kind of information it protects. So know that the US PII compliance policy protects us against credit card numbers, US bank account numbers, US individual taxpayer identification numbers, and US social security numbers. And the other one that we're going to play with today is the PCI data security standard, which protects us against credit card numbers. So first of all, let's select the PCI data security standard, and then we can set a threshold of how many instances of that conflicting data type I have to find before I actually trigger an alert. Maybe it's normal for you to have one credit card in the file, but not two, or one social security number, but if you have more than one, then we're going to trigger the alert. But in my case, since I only want to do a demo, as soon as you have one, show me an alert. So I'll click on next over here. It's going to show me the query. Everything is already built, so it allowed me to find it. Let me give it a name. Let's say credit card one. And then I have to add a query scope. So let me search for select sources, add a location. And I think my site is intranet.demo.local. So let me add it. It takes a few seconds. Okay. Every time I do this, it takes a few seconds before it can actually find it. Refresh. It just has to find that web application, make sure that it resolves it, and you see it changed from the actual site collection title to the intranet home, which is the title instead of the URL. Okay. Select sources, intranet, perfect. Okay, now we have it. And now simply I have to click search. When I click search, you see it found one result, and it found a credit card number, and the document is information from clients, and it's made by Vlad Cafunescu and Demo Adam B. If we look at the document, what we have inside information from clients, Adam really uploaded some bad information there, I think there is like 5 credit cards in that document. I wanted to make sure that it finds them whatever happens. So you see I have a bunch of credit card numbers, I have the CVC, I have the expiration date, so I have a lot of bad information there. If I go back to the DLP Policy Center, I could save this one, put it back a name, I can save it, then I can export it and get an Excel file so I can present it to whoever I want. So that's it for the monitoring, that's how you monitor information that's already in SharePoint. However, the eDiscovery Center is not going to block any information, it's not going to do anything automatically. So to get automatic, so to automatically block conflicting documents, we need to create a compliance policy center. So let's create that right now. Let me call it compliance. And when I go to enterprise, I will select the compliance policy center templates. Again, under the enterprise tab, put SP admin as my user, and let me click save. And while this is done, let's go back to the slides and continue with the theory. So how do we block documents? The steps to block the information, first we need to create a policy in the policy center, assign the policy to a site collection, and then repeat for every site collection that we want to assign that policy on. So if we look at what do we put when we create a policy, and you'll see it's really, it's very similar to the one we did before. So first of all, we need to select the template of the information we have to find, and Microsoft again gives us a description of that template. We then need to show how many times does it have to find information before it gives an alert. And for the policy, since it gets applied automatically, we can select who do we send this email to, who do we send the alert to once it finds it. Maybe we want to send it directly to the compliance person. We don't want to send it to the user or stuff like that, or to the SharePoint admin. We want to send it to the compliance department, to the HR department, and so on. And also we want to select, hey, do we want to not notify the user that he did something wrong? So do we tell the user that that user did something wrong, and do we want to block the document? We can make sure that this gets handled all in the background, so only the compliance or the HR team looks at this, and if they find something wrong, they're going to tell the users. Or we can tell SharePoint, hey, tell the user right away that they did something wrong, and make sure that nobody can access that document until that user fixes the problems by himself. So let me go back here. The site collection got created, so let's create a policy. So first of all, I'm in the Compliance Policy Center. There are 2 things that we can do. The first one is deletion policies, which we're not going to cover in this webinar. And the one we really want to play with is data loss prevention policies. So let me go into data loss prevention policies. First thing I have to do is I have to create a DLP policy. So let me go here. Let me create a new item. Let's give it PCI 1. I want to have an alert when I find one PCI data security standard document, only one of them. I want to send an email to the compliance team, so compliance@demo.local. And I also want to tell the user and block access if that kind of information is found. So let me click save, and let me create another one which looks for social security numbers. So let's say USPII 1. One as well, send an email to compliance@demo.local, notify the user, block access, same thing, and click save. So now we have 2 policies that will notify us if it finds either the personally identifiable information or PCI data security standard. However, we did not apply them to a site collection yet. So the policies exist, but we need to apply them to a site collection. So let me go into DLP policy assignments for site collections. Let me click on new item. And first of all, we need to select what site collections do we want to apply this policy to. So let me select a site collection. Let me put the URL which I have here, intranet.demo.local. Perfect. And then we can manage assigned policies. And you see, I think this is kind of a user interface error. Usually when we have checkboxes, it's because we can select more than one. However, for this one, we can either select one or the other. We cannot select more than one at a time. So what I will do, I'll first do one for the PCI, so let me click Save. And then if I also want to apply my other policy to the same site collection, I have to create a new item, choose a site collection. Let me search for internet, you should find it. Manage assigned policies, and then put the US PII. So let me click Save, and I want to show you something you see over here. Newer updated policy assignments may not take effect for up to 24 hours. This is because technically speaking, this all the compliance, all the DLP system relies on a timer job in SharePoint. By default, depending on the information type, that timer job runs every 24 hours on a certain web application. If it's really important for your company, make sure you set that timer job to run a lot sooner. So if you want to get the information as soon as possible, but maybe run it every every 10 minutes, every 20 minutes, so you get that information faster. So let me click Save. Perfect. So now I will do something that please do not do in your production system. I will open up SharePoint 2016 Management Shell. I will run the command get SP timer job. So load, so get all the timer jobs and start SP timer job. So this will start all the timer jobs on my farm. I want to make it easy, so please don't do this at home. Don't do this in your production environment because it will really kill your environment, but I don't care in this demo environment. So while this loads, let me go back to the slides and talk about end user education.
Hey, say Vlad, there was one question that came up before you move on.
Yeah, sure.
And actually two people had the same question more or less, which is can you create your own DLP templates? Can you create, you know, you showed us a list of templates to choose from, which seemed like they're already preloaded, but is there possible to create custom templates of the DLP template?
I actually have this part in the limitations at the end of the slide, but no, currently we cannot create custom DLP policies.
Well policies are templates, you mean templates, right?
Templates, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So currently at the moment we cannot create custom templates.
All right, thank you.
My pleasure. So, end user education, let the users know what they did wrong. So we saw the term policy tip a bit before when we created that policy. What does it mean? First of all, when we block the information and we decide to let the users know, we have the in-context information. So you see the document with the red stop sign, that document has been blocked. So we, as an admin, as a site collection admin, I can see the blocked documents directly in the site in context, so in my document library. When I click on that document, SharePoint will show me a policy tip. What is a policy tip? A policy tip is a pop-up that shows us what that document did wrong. Because we can't only say, hey, your document did something wrong, but I'm not going to tell you what. So I have the policy tip that says, hey, this item contains the following sensitive information, credit card number. So we let the user know what they did wrong. And also, the users actually receive emails of what they did wrong. As soon as we detect that information, and of course, we need to select that option when we create our policy, say, hey, send them an email, and they will see, hey, notification for new information from clients. It contains a credit card number. So let me try to go back. Perfect. So I'll minimize this and let's take a look at the emails that I received. And you see I have a bunch of them, but let's take a look at the one we just got now, which I think is this one. So yeah, this one in the instrument.demo.local. So this is the email that is sent to the compliance manager. And let me see if I can make this bigger so you see better. So we see we have a role detected, service SharePoint, what is the URL of the document, what is the title of the document, who created the document and who's the last person who modified it. What did it find? It found sensitive information. What kind of policy? The policy name is PCI1. It found a credit card number. It found, actually found five credit card numbers, and the confidence level is 85%. So we looked at how it calculates confidence levels, and as a compliance policy admin, this is where I can see the result. How sure is SharePoint that it actually found that information? This is the information that the client receives. So you see Adam B, the person who uploaded a document, they got an email that says, hey, we found an issue with a document that you uploaded because it has a credit card number. And since I had two documents, you see I also have one with a social security number. I actually have three of them, and this one is 96% confident. So SharePoint is 96% sure that it actually found a social security number in that document, and I have the end user notification again. If we look at it from an end user perspective, and I think I have it over here. Before I refresh, I want you to look at the documents over here. You see, they're normal documents. So you cannot see that they did anything wrong. Let me refresh it now that the policy has been applied. You'll see that those documents now have, once it loads, they have a red stop sign on the document telling me that, hey, there's something with that document. And this is because we decided to block the permissions. When we block the permissions to a document, it means that only the person who created the document, the last person who modified it, and the site collection admin can see that document. Everybody else doesn't even see the document exist. It's like the permissions were broken and nobody else except those three persons have access to that document. Once I open up the three docs, I see access to this item is blocked because it conflicts with a policy in your organization. If I click on view policy tip, it shows me what it did wrong. So it can show me, hey, this is what it contains. This one contains a credit card number, and this one contains a social security number. As a user, what I can do, I can click on resolve, and then I have two choices. First of all, I can say, I can override a policy. You override a policy when you say, hey, yes, I do have five credit cards number in that document. However, this is an invoice document library, and I have to put my credit card numbers in there. That's where the document library is for. So yes, I do have them. I agree that I have credit cards number, but I want to override the policy, and I need to enter a business justification. The other choice I have is when I go on here, go back to view policy tip, and view policy tip, resolve, I can click report an issue. So I can say, hey, I don't have any credit card numbers in there. I think this is just an error, and I don't think I have any credit card numbers in there. So I can report the issue and unblock my document. So this is the end user experience that we get when one of our documents is blocked. Let me go back to the slides. Limitations. What limitations do we have? First of all, we cannot create custom rules, so we cannot create, at least for now, we cannot create any custom ones. From a SharePoint admin side, we need to have one policy center per web application. So for security reasons, a policy center cannot apply policies to a different web application. So we need to have one policy center per web application. Also, there are no clean PowerShell command lines for automation. I didn't try it, but you can probably do it through CSUM. However, at the moment, there are no clean, there is no new SP compliance policy or new SP DLP policy. There are no clean PowerShell command lines. The mapping is one-to-one to the site collection. You cannot apply a policy to one web application. You need to apply one per site collection. So imagine you have 5 policies and you have 100 site collections. You need to have 500 policy to site collection assignments so you can apply them all. So from an admin perspective, it's not as user-friendly as it could be. And lastly, hybrid kind of works. What I mean by that, by kind of works, is if you have hybrid search set up, your on-prem DLP policy center can still apply to your on-prem stuff. However, you saw how all the system works, blocking the document, showing that policy tip, that's all handled by timer jobs. And at the moment, SharePoint Online cannot call on-prem timer jobs. So we cannot get all that full DLP functionality. And let's say we have one policy center in the cloud that's going to manage the full DLP functionality online and on-prem. So using eDiscover, we could find that information with hybrid search if we have the cloud search service application configured. If we have the cloud SSA configured, we can also make sure that the on-prem policy center still works. However, we don't have that 100% one compliance policy center in the cloud to roll them all experience that we could have. Microsoft said that they're working towards that and they're trying to make that happen. Today in SharePoint 2016 RTM, you cannot have one policy center in the cloud and have the full functionality on SharePoint 2016 on-prem. Resources, I put up 2 links over here. First one is a blog post I did on CMSWare that shows you an overview of DLP, how it looks like from the business user perspective, what do we get, and everything. And another one on my own blog, Absolute SharePoint blog, a tutorial, a step-by-step on how to configure it. As you see, we configured it step-by-step today. It's really not complicated, but you have this link in case you want to look at it later. So that's about it for the webinar. I put my information up here, but I think Scott is going to show it during the Q&A after. So you should have all this information. So what questions do we have, Scott?
Okay, yes, you hear me, right? We do have a couple questions. One is, can we edit the template for emails that go to end users?
Not currently, no.
So the email that goes out when they violate a policy or, you know, are warned?
This is the email. You can maybe do it during, if you, maybe during dev you can customize it or you can change some SharePoint internals, but out of the box you cannot customize that email.
Yeah, so no easy way to do that. Okay. Then when a document is blocked, I think you might answer this, but just go over it again. When a document is marked as blocked, only the author, site collection administrator, and I think
the person who last modified it.
Okay, which could be not the author because the author might write it, then the person who modifies it types in the credit card number or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's really the last person who modified the original document author and site collection administrators. And you can have maybe 3 of them. So all the people in the site collection admin role.
Okay. Those were the 2 questions, unless people have other ones that came up during the webinar. And of course, they can always email us or you or us, you know, directly to get.
Oh yeah, well, you have my Twitter information over here. Send me a link on Twitter, add me on LinkedIn, visit my blog, whenever.
Okay.
So okay. No other questions? People are silent.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's some. Here now they're answering questions.
There we go.
When is 2016 being released? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's RTM. A part question.
SharePoint 2016 RTM was released actually yesterday, so you could install it in your test environments and everything. However, don't go in production with it. I think the general availability will be May 4th, and there's a big event on May 4th that you should attend, that Jeff Tepper is going to keynote, Bill Baer, a bunch of Microsoft people, and during May is when SharePoint 2016 is going to hit the Volume Licensing Center, so that's when you're going to be able to install it in production. But XRTM final version is up there. You have the BIX. You can install a test environment. You can get your architecture ready. So, yeah, okay. It's almost out.
Okay, and here's another question. Can you tie in Nintex workflows, for example, and use lazy approval?
I got no idea. I never used Nintex personally, so I can't help you with that one. I would ask the Nintex folks, and maybe they can help you. Maybe they can give you a better answer. But I never used Nintex personally, so I can't. I don't know what lazy approval is.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good. That's true. Talk to the Nintex people. They might have some interaction with DLP or how it affects it. Okay. Another question that came up is when the person reports the policy for unblocking document, is it unblocked instantly or something for that goes to review for the admin?
Unfortunately, well, in my opinion, unfortunately, for now, whenever a document is reported, so let me go here. Let me go to view policy tip. Come on, SharePoint. Whenever you're reported, it gets unblocked automatically. So there is no approval workflow on it, let's say. So it really gets, let's say, I click on resolve, report, and that's done. Enter, perfect. See, it's unblocked. And that's one of the, well, personally, I think it's a bug, and I reported it as a bug, and I know that the Microsoft team will try to work on it and improve this part of it, but I can't give you a timeline. I know that it's been reported as a bug, so hopefully right. they're going to, or a feature enhancement, and hopefully they're going to give us a lot more control on those actions, maybe allow us to do a workflow, an approval workflow and all that, but at the moment, it's instantly unblocked.
It would seem to me that if the author could unblock, it gets blocked and can immediately unblock it, that's not a very secure policy, is it?
That's why I said I think it's a bug, in my opinion. Other people can say it's a feature enhancement. I think it's a bug. However, you still have the compliance department that gets that email, so they should be able to act on it pretty quick if the compliance policy is important. However, yeah, I agree that I wish we could have more control on the workflow on getting that document unblocked.
Right, because sometimes you might want to absolutely block it and just say, no, yeah. there's no way that's ever going to...
You can unblock.
Right, you can't unblock it. Somebody, the higher-ups have to unblock it, or somebody who makes a compliance officer has to decide that or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I hope we're going to get more controls on it, but at the moment, there's absolutely nothing.
Wow. That's interesting. All right, well, I'll put on the final slide here, which is, here, thank everyone. There aren't any more questions that I'm seeing coming up. So, again, you can email Vlad or myself and get, you know, any questions that come up or any concerns or want to know more information. Also, like Vlad says, he has quite an amount of information on his blog, absolute-sharepoint.com. Also, he's an author on Pluralsight. There's quite a set of training videos he's put up there. And then for Crow Canyon, we're on, like I said, social media. And as you can see you there, we have a presence at a number of shows. And that's just a small, with at least four or five more coming into the summer, Boston and D.C. and other places we'll be going. So, Vlad, I think we're good, right? I thank everyone for attending. And hope to hear from you. We'll send out an email with the recording. If not tomorrow, by the time we get it ready, then later. And Vlad said he will post maybe more information in his blog about this as far as DLP or other aspects of 2016, right?
So, yeah, well, for sure there's going to be a lot of information on 2016. So make sure you follow it. I'll try to go deeper into DLP, how every timely job works, and go deeper into it. And as if Microsoft changes stuff, I'll make sure to post about it. But yeah, if you follow my blog, I'll post a lot of SharePoint 2016 stuff, so make sure you check it out.
Excellent. That and the Crow Canyon blog, we've been posting a lot too, helping people get ready. So we're glad we could provide this information to everyone. And thank you, Vlad, for spending the time and helping us out.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you, everybody who attended. Thank you for taking the time to come listen to me. And I really hope that you got a lot of information out of this webinar.